This morning we're going to be in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, and we're going to start in verse 26. Like always, like I say every Sunday, it's good to gather with God's people. As you get and flip to Acts chapter 9, like I said, starting in verse 26, I guess I'm going to give it like a mini summary net before we get started. Conversations have been coming out a lot this year, good conversations. It's the subject of baptism. And on that note, we got another baptism coming up next Sunday. And that'll be number 4 already this year. I mean, that's a blessing. But if baptism is something that's been weighing on your heart, around salvation is something around your heart, when you come talk to me about baptism, two scriptures I send you to. One is Colossians chapter 2, to remind us of the symbolism that surrounds baptism, the celebration of the change that occurs in us. And so if that's something you're wrestling with, rather than you need to be baptized, read Colossians chapter 2 this week. But then also, I've got to where I encourage people to go read the book of James. It's like we said, baptism is symbolic of the change that's occurred in you. And I think James is a good place to start on that. And so if you read James this week, just give you a few themes to look for. When you read chapter 1, it'll show what your character and trials should be, and that you should be a doer of the word. So when we come to faith in Christ, does that mean the trials of this world disappear? No. But the way we approach them changes. James chapter 2, faith without works is dead. A reminder that, hey, getting saved is more than just getting up here, getting in the baptistry, getting wet, getting out. That decision is backed up by a change in your life. That's fruit there. The works aren't what saves us, but are evidence of the change that has occurred in us. You get to chapter 3, taming of the tongue. One of the greatest marks of how we've been changed is what comes out of our mouths. That's one of the greatest marks. And as James 3 points out, it's something very hard to control. The tongue is hard to control. And something you won't do by your power. You get to James chapter 4. You get a warning against worldliness. What you need to watch out to guard yourself against. You get to chapter 5. It warns in trusting in money. And I think that's a very important one in our culture today. Because in the United States, no matter where you sit on the economic scale, we are very blessed. And it can be easy to trust in our ability to meet our needs. Again, chapter 5 hits on trials, encourages to be patient in suffering. But also, it reminds us of the importance of prayer. And so, like I said, if baptism is something you're wrestling with, something you're thinking about, go read Colossians chapter 2. And go read the whole book of James. A very short book, but also another reason I give the challenge to go read the book of James. If you've truly been changed, you've truly come into a relationship with the Lord, that's going to be a desire for the word there. That you are going to want to learn from the Lord. You want to get in his word. And I just thought, as many conversations I've had over the last 3 months, it'd be good to bring it up from the pulpit. But what a blessing that is. What a privilege it is that we get to see so many lives getting serious about the Lord. Because so many churches have not had 4 baptisms in 4 years. But next Sunday will mark the 4th one in less than 2 months. And what a blessing that is. And with another possible to in the months to come. And so, what a blessing that before the year is even halfway over with, we're looking at almost 6 baptisms possibly that we know of that may be coming. And it just blows my mind. Leaves me in awe of our God. Because sometimes we wonder, is he still working? Mm-hmm. He is. And I know deep down we know. But it's good to see that fruit coming forward. To see that the generations coming up have not completely hardened their hearts against God and turned their backs. Because if you look at the world we live in, that's what it feels like some days, doesn't it? that we live in a nation that's hardened their hearts towards God and turned their back. But what a blessing it is to see so many young people being countercultural and not turning their back on God. Not doing like most of their peers, but a choosing to take a relationship with the Lord serious, to take his commandments seriously. Like I said this morning, we're going to be in Acts, finally getting back to the book of Acts. And how long we stay here, who knows, because we've taken a many a breaks. But we'll be in Acts chapter 9, starting in verse 26. And something to think about this morning as we're reading through the scripture, a healthy church grows when our voices are discerning and encouraging, and our ears are mindful, with all we do being guided by truth and love. And so this morning, we're going to be talking a lot about how do we as believers use our mouths, and how do we use our ears. And I encourage you on using our mouths and ears, we all should go read James chapter 3 this week and see if we truly use our mouths in the way that honors God. To read James chapter 1, because verse 26, it's a good one. Well, before we even dive into Acts, I'm going to go read 1:26. That way I know I don't forget to come back to it. 1:26, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. And I'm going to refer to that again in a little bit, but just in case I forget to flip back to it, I wanted to bring it in now. But Acts chapter 9, verse 26. And when he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, with him being Saul. And they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. And can you blame him for being afraid of Paul? I mean, just a month before, he was signing death warrants. He was having some of their friends probably murdered. And so I would have been afraid of him when he walked through the door. But Barnabas, thank the Lord for Barnabas. And I love this name Barnabas because it means son of encouragement. That's what his name means, which is so fitting because the voice that speaks up for Paul, name means voice of encouragement. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord who spoke to him and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. So this Barnabas has seen the fruit of a changed heart and was willing to put his reputation on the line to speak on Paul's behalf. And I think that's one reason we don't speak up a lot of times. Because when we connect our name to somebody else, not only is their reputation on the line, our reputation is on the line. Because what if Barnabas has spoken on behalf of Paul, Paul gets in, gets to know the workings of the church. How did they not know Paul was there kind of as a spy to figure out who are the key leaders to take out? I mean, how would that affect Barnabas' reputation? He would have no longer been welcomed, would he? Rather, he knew it or not, but thank the Lord, Paul truly changed. Verse 28, so he went in and out among them at Jerusalem, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. And he spoke and disputed against the Hellenists, but they were seeking to kill him. And when the brothers learned this, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. Verse 31, so the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. I love that. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up. Because the believers used their words well and used their ears well. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord, to gather in your house, Lord. And Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that there was a need to talk about baptism right off the bat this morning. That this week alone, there's been two different conversations about young people wanting to know more about baptism. What a blessing. And that's just the conversations that have been had. Who knows how many more are wrestling with salvation, wrestling with baptism, with obedience of following salvation and baptism. Lord, we pray, Lord, you continue to stir the hearts of the young folks. And Lord, if any of us older folks have deceived ourselves the whole life thinking that we are believers, but are not, give us the boldness, Lord, to come forward and say, hey, I've been in church for 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years. And God's convicted me, I've been deceiving myself. Well, I pray that's none of us, Lord. But you guys know by reading your word, that is a possibility. None of us want to be the one that comes before you and hears, depart from me, I never knew you. And Lord, if we are in that camp, Lord, I pray, Lord, you convict and reveal it to us. Lord, if that was ever my heart, I pray that you would convict me till I was sick to my stomach to realize. Let us be a people that truly deserves to honor you with all our words, with our ears. Let us use our voices to glorify you. Let us use our ears to glorify you. Let us use our eyes to glorify you. Let us use all of our being to glorify you. Lord, we pray this morning that you be with the preaching of your word. Lord, use it to shape our hearts to be more holy as you are. As in prayer course, as we talked about, it ain't good enough to be just good. But we are called, as in 1 Peter, to be holy as you are, to be set apart, to live in such a way that is only possible through being covered in your blood, through the power of your spirit, living to glorify you, the Holy Father. We thank you, Lord. In your mighty Son's name we pray. Amen. But first this morning, let's talk about how do we use our voice. And as I read through this, because when I got to verse 31, I was like, what before this, what we read, led to the peace in the church being built up? In the following paragraph, what were some of the keys to the church having peace and growing? And one of the first things we see is a balanced voice. Because we do need a voice of discernment. Because they were not wrong to question Paul's motives for being there. But also, that's responsibility to have a voice of encouragement, as Barnabas did. And be willing to speak, be the voice of encouragement, even when the majority is discerning. But then also, a point on listening, the rest had enough sense to listen to Barnabas. Barnabas' reputation was good with them to the point when they all were like, I don't know about Paul. Barnabas comes along and says, well, let me tell you about this young man. Let me tell you about this guy. Let me tell you about the change that happened in his life. And they were willing to sit down and listen. Despite whatever preconceptions they came with. Again, ones they were right to have. But they had it and were willing to listen. And trust in one another. And so how do we balance this voice of discernment and encouragement? Because that's a hard line to walk, is it not? We either go way to this side of being too discerning, where we're always skeptical, always putting people down, or we go way over here to being too encouraging, where we never say a negative word, never say constructive criticism. And no matter which way you go too far off, it puts you down a bad path. It's a balanced path you have to walk. And let's be honest, the reason the path to heaven is narrow is because it's not an easy walk. If it was easy, guess what? Our churches would be more full if it was easy. But being called to walk with Christ, to pick up our cross daily, it's not an easy path. It is a path where we have to be intentional every single day. That's why since the beginning of the year, I've been drilling y'all with having personal time with the Lord every morning. That you open your Bibles in your own home. That the only time you open the Bible is not right now. Not tonight, this morning, and not Wednesday night. Because if that's the only two times you open your Bible, your faith is either weak or non-existent. If you can go from Sunday to Sunday without feeling conviction, say we all go through times in our life where we don't, and I walk with Christ, where we don't open the Bible as we should. But if you could do that without feeling conviction, examine your heart and make sure you are not deceiving yourself. Make sure you are not basing your entrance into eternity just because of your church attendance. Just showing up here on Sundays will not get you in the heavenly gates. That's right. a dedication to the Lord. Make him your Savior and Lord of every day of your week, not just a few hours on Sunday. It's what gets us into eternity by his blood, by the free gift he gives. I beg you, do not deceive yourself. You're going to hear that a lot this morning. One, because it's what we see in the Word. And two, I think every sermon I've turned on this week has hit on that in some way. I'm like, Lord, what are you trying to tell us this week? Everything I've listened to, it feels like, has hit on that topic. To make sure we do not deceive ourselves into thinking we are something that we are. But let's talk about having a voice of discernment. 1 John 4:1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. So Scripture clearly commands us to practice discernment. So again, those at Jerusalem were not wrong to question Paul. Because they were yet to see the many letters he would write. They don't have the hindsight we have of all the great things he'd done. They were at the beginning of it. But we are to test the spirits. We are to test everything that comes against us. Let's be honest, the devil is constantly trying to divide us. 1 Peter 5:8 says he's a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And what's one of the easiest ways to take down your enemy? From the inside. If you're fighting a battle, if you can get somebody on the inside in a war, you get somebody within the walls, that's a lot easier to win. I mean, we've all heard the story, the story of the Trojan horse, where the soldiers hid and this horse came in as a great gift. And when everybody's guard was down, what happens? The enemy came out. They were let right in the gates. They came looking good, came looking like peace. I believe that's one of the devil's favorite tactics. He loves sometimes to sneak in, looking all pretty, packaged all well, and then start stirring division. Whether it's through false teaching, whether it's through gossip, he has many ways he seeks to divide us. One of my favorite songs that I've come across this year is a song called Worship is Warfare. And it's by this group called Meet Your Maker. But in part of the song, it says this line: when Satan cannot distract us from worshiping, he wants to divide us about worshiping. Let it be said loudly, worship is an act of war. First time I heard that, I was like, you know, that is so true. That sometimes we do so well as believers. And we're good at avoiding the things of this world, guarding against the things of this world. But then we'll let the devil divide us among small things. And I haven't really seen it here, but there's so many churches where people about fight over what type of music song. And I'm glad we don't do that here. But there's some churches where they get so distracted from the mission of the church that most of the conversations revolve around, should it be traditional or contemporary? My question to that, it should be God-honoring. Whether it's Southern gospel, whether it's contemporary, as long as it lines up with the words, that it edifies the saints, I don't care what song, as long as it edifies the saints and it glorifies God. And that we sing it with a true heart. Yes. How many times have you lied on Sunday morning, singing the hymns, singing the songs? When you read the words of the Psalms, what did these Psalms proclaim that we're doing for the Lord? How many times when you go out into this world that you don't live what you just sung this morning? Did you lie this morning? Did you say something you didn't truly believe, something you didn't truly live out? Or do your actions match up what you said? Again, worship is an act of war in a sense. Because we're starting our week off with proclaiming where we stand in the Lord. Just in my mind, imagine it. It's our war cry at the beginning of the week. Saying, hey, devil, look out. This is what's coming your way. So that's why if I'm going to sing it, I'm going to make sure I mean it. So I'm saying, devil, I am coming this week. And I'm serious about the Lord. So you better watch out. And, you know, sometimes we don't do as good as discerning as we should, but that's okay. Hebrews 5:14. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have the powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Hebrews points out that's something we have to grow in. We got to grow in the scriptures. Sometimes we're more gifted with it than others. Sometimes it comes to many, many hours in the Word. And I can tell you one person I know is greatly gifted in discernment is Lindsay. I can't tell you how many times she has told me something about situations that nobody told her, that she'd be like, all right, this will be this issue with this person. And I'll just kind of brush it off and be like, she don't know what she's talking about. She's just being a little paranoid. It's what goes through my mind. And I can tell you through the years, that's been times she's came to me in a very humble way. It's like, I tried telling you, told you so. But through many times of not listening, I've learned to put value in those words. And that was wrong on my part, not to put value in those words. And I'm sorry for that. Listen to one another. Like with this, I had to convince about that. That within my home, I wasn't practicing listening like I should have. How did that affect me outside the walls in ministry? That I couldn't simply listen to what she meant out of well-meaning heart, just kind of just brushing it off. How many times did that reflect in my ministry over the last few years? In our day-to-day lives, our Monday through Saturday lives, how does that reflect in how we minister to the world? How we live within our homes? How does that reflect outside the walls of our houses, of our churches? How we live in private will be made known publicly. What is done in darkness will be, I just went blank. We brought to light. I don't know why that just flew the coop. James 1:5. You hear a lot of James this morning. Go read James this week. James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. If you want to be more discerning, if you want to be more encouraging, simply ask. Maybe there's things you're missing because you have not asked the Lord. Maybe there's things he wants to do in your life. Maybe there's things he wants to use you in ways he wants to use you to reach your community, to reach your family. And the only reason he hasn't done it is because you haven't been humble enough to say, Lord, give me the strength to do this. Give me the strength to be a better listener. Give me the strength to quote your word better. Give me the strength, Lord, to write your words on my heart better. Give me the strength to be more bold in my faith. There may be a level of boldness he hasn't given you because you simply have not asked. There's some parts of our faith walk that we are looking at overcomplicated ways of trying to figure out what to do better. And sometimes it's just as simple as asking. I can think many times where I've overcomplicated something, and then all of a sudden, some quiet time, it's just like the Lord says, just listen and ask. Stop making complicated formulas and just ask and trust. But on the flip side of discernment, we have to be a voice of encouragement. And I think a scripture good to start this off with is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. Not the result of works, so that no one may boast. And I love Psalm 103:12. The Lord has cast our sins as far as the east is from the west. For grace you have been saved. Barnabas realized that about Paul, that for by grace he had been saved. That Paul's track record is not what affected him today. And yes, that's hard to let go of, ain't it? And sometimes it requires those tough conversations. But when we come to the Lord, we are no longer known by our sins, but we're known as sons and daughters of the King. Because we are no longer known by the long list in Galatians 5:19 through 21 of the fruits of the flesh, but rather we are known by the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22 through 23. When we come to the Lord, I am no longer known as a sinner, but as a son. I'm no longer identified by the shame of my sin, but by the glory of my Lord. Yes. And that should affect the way we speak. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. So just like we are encouraged to be discerning, we are encouraged to be encouraging, to build one another up. This morning, how have you encouraged somebody else in here? This week, how have you encouraged somebody else? When you see something being done right, how often do you go and say, I'm proud for the way you're living? So lots of us, let's be honest, we're quick to point out people when they're doing wrong. We're quick to call it out. But how often do you see somebody doing something right and you never give them a word of encouragement? I mean, we may get in our cars and leave here and say to our spouse, like, man, so-and-so's doing that really well. I'm really proud of this young man, this young woman. And we'll say it to our spouses, but beyond that, how often do we go to that person and say, man, you're doing this really well. The way you're handling it is honoring God. A lot of times we just neglect that. Like, well, they know, we ain't got to tell them. You are told by Scripture, whether they know or not, you are told by Scripture to encourage one another. To the new believers, 2 Timothy 2:15, while we should encourage you and lift you up, you have a responsibility too. 2 Timothy 2:15, do your best to present yourselves to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. So don't live the way you live for our approval. Now, we got a responsibility to encourage you, but be more worried about God's approval and showing yourself approved to Him. But believers, be obedient to encourage one another. Thank the Lord, Barnabas knew about Paul's conversion and was able to speak on his behalf. Let us follow the example of Barnabas and encourage one another. Be willing to put our reputation on the line to an extent. And hey, that's why in evangelism, relationships are so important. If you take time to know folks, you can a lot of times tell if the conversion is true or not. Now, will you be deceived at times? Yes. But if you have put in time with folks, you have talked to folks, you get to know their hearts, you get to know the genuineness of their spirit, you'll be a little more willing to speak on their behalf. And when the Lord calls you to speak on somebody's behalf, speak on their behalf. Don't stay silent. And as you balance discernment and you balance encouragement, balance it in love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoice in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Let this be your guiding light. Let this be what guides you as you are discerning, as you are encouraging. Let it be the principle of love and the truth of God's words. But after Barnabas spoke on Paul's behalf, Paul got busy. He went to preaching the word. He didn't waste any time. And we see an example of the church's ears being mindful. Because right here in verse 29, and he spoke and disputed against the Hellenists, but they were seeking to kill him. And when the brothers learned this, they brought him down to Caesar and sent him off to Tarsus. See, his brothers and sisters in Christ heard the words being said about Paul. But they didn't turn a deaf ear to him. They went to Paul and protected Paul. And as you read this, you go, well, last time I checked, nobody was trying to kill us here in the United States as we ministered to them. But how often do we seek to kill one another's reputations? How often do we seek to gossip? I would say gossip falls in this camp. How often do you hear other people in the church talking about other people in the church? How often do we talk about one another behind their backs? probably more times than we want to admit. In those senses, we are being like the Hellenist. We may not be seeking to physically kill somebody, but we're seeking to physically kill what they're doing for spiritually kill what they're doing for the Lord. We need to guard our tongues. We need to guard our ears. And when you hear gossip, you don't have the right to be silent. You are called to act. You are called to sit down with folks. When you hear other believers gossiping about other people, you need to tell them, like, look, let's go look at James chapter 3 and talk about the tongue. Let us remember James 1:26. The one who does not bridle his tongue, his religion is worthless. If you are not controlling your tongue, if you are comfortable talking about one another, you need to ask about the genuineness of your religion, of your relationship with the Lord. Because the body, a healthy body, does not attack the body. When the body starts attacking the body, that's a sign of unhealthiness in the body. So when you hear this, you have a responsibility to act. I think of this. When a house with smoke alarm has some smoke alarms, but no response plan, what happens? It still burns. That's alarms. You hear the alarms, but you have no response plan, it still burns. Hearing gossip but refusing to act is not neutrality, it is negligence. A body that constantly hears unedifying talk and ignores it will burn. I've seen it in church after church. I've known churches that have been healthy, but because unbridled tongues were allowed to keep going and other believers did not speak up, that's been churches that have crashed and burned because of unbridled tongues. So let's be mindful with what we hear our ears, and then let's be mindful with our words as we address the tough conversations, as we call people out for that gossip. So if you came to me with stuff that seems like gossip, you can ask folks what I do. I say, all right, we're going to have a conversation with so-and-so you just came to me about. I've offered many times to sit down as mediator with folks when they came, saying they got an issue with somebody doing something. I'm like, all right, let's go talk with them. And I spend times where people refuse to sit down and talk. If you cannot sit down and talk with those you have issues with, before you even address issues with somebody else, those issues in your heart you need to address. Because Scripture tells us we are to strive to live as much with peace with everyone. And if you ain't got the desire to sit down with those you got issues with, just as much as the problem may be with them, it is with you. If you have not made an effort to resolve what's going on, it is just as much on you. Let's go back to Matthew. Look at the plank in your own eye before you look at the speck in your brother's eye. If we learn to talk to one another instead of about one another, a lot of issues will be resolved. And that's my challenge. Let us not talk about one another, but let us talk to one another. Let it be governed by the truth of the word. Let it be governed by the love of the Spirit. And in these conversations, let us be discerning, but also let us be encouraging. Let us be gracious. Let us first start with examining what's going on in our lives. And like I said, I have told many people, I do not mind sitting down with you. Sometimes it helps having a mediator, having somebody there to sit and listen. And sometimes when you got an extra person in the room, it keeps emotions in check, doesn't it? Let us be willing to be discerning and encouraging with our words. Amen. Let us be governed by love and truth. Amen. Let us be mindful with our ears. And when we're mindful with our ears, let that circle continue. It's an never-ending circle. That's what mindful, that's what slow to listen. I mean, quick to listen, slow to speak. We'll fix a lot of things. Not easy words to hear. And before you write off, oh, that's not me, I'm not a part of any issues, pray like, Lord, if I am and I'm blinding myself to it through years of lies, reveal it to me this week. That's my prayer for me. If I'm part of issues because I haven't used my mouth any as well, I pray the Lord reveals it to me. We're good at lying to ourselves sometimes. And the devil loves to try to blind us and distract us. Let us be mindful. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord, to gather in your house, Lord. Lord, forgive me for the times, Lord, that I'm not mindful with my words. Lord, forgive me for the times that I have not been discerning as I should. Lord, forgive me for the times I haven't been as encouraging as I should. Lord, forgive me for the times I have not listened well. Lord, forgive us for how we have not listened well at times. Forgive us, Lord, for when we fail to use our words rightly. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you help us live in a way that honors and glorifies you. No matter how tough, no matter how hard that is, Lord. I thank you for the many ways you're moving, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your spirit that gives us the strength to live the way you've called us to live. Lord, we pray, Lord, you continue to stir the hearts of this next generation coming up, Lord. So again, what a blessing this week it was to have two separate conversations with two separate young men about baptism. Lord, we pray you continue to move, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you help us continue to be mindful of how you are moving. Help us not get distracted by the many things of this world. Lord, let your spirit guide us, Lord. Lord, during this time of invitation, Lord, I pray, Lord, you convict and people do business with you. But more importantly, Lord, I pray as we leave here today that people continue to do business with you, Lord, and continue to live with conviction of your holiness as they go through the rest of that week. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.